Jerusalem, the center of Judah's worship and Israel's worship, Jerusalem is now in ruins. And Jeremiah writes this in the book of Lamentations, at the very beginning of the book. He says this: Jerusalem, once so full of people, is now deserted. She who was once great among the nations now sits alone like a widow. Once the queen of all the earth, she's now a slave. She sobs through the night. Tears stream down her cheeks. Among all her lovers, there is no one left to comfort her. All her friends have betrayed her and become her enemies. Judah has been led away into captivity, oppressed with cruel slavery. She lives among foreign nations and has no place of rest. Her enemies have chased her down, and she has nowhere to turn. This is God's word. Let's pray. Our gracious God, speak to us this morning. Open our ears and our hearts to what you have to say to each one of us. Speak to us where we are. Amen. Have you ever known somebody who was the opposite of the life of the party? No names. Don't call them out. Someone who's the opposite of the life of the party. We might call them a Dotty Downer or a Negative Ned, right? Somebody who is kind of sucks the joy in the air right out of the room when they come in. And everybody goes, oh no, right? Jeremiah was that kind of person. The author of our book, Jeremiah, was known as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah probably suffered from depression. If you read what he wrote, you think, man, this guy's he needs a little therapy. Right? Jeremiah had a hard time finding joy. As a matter of fact, he writes this book, Lamentations, which means to weep. To weep. But Jeremiah had good reason to weep here and to feel down and depressed. He really did. The kingdom, once great, under King David and King Solomon, looked at by the rest of the world as an amazing and fascinating and wealthy and wise nation, is now been divided. The 10 tribes that formed the north nation, Israel, have been taken into captivity, and they're gone. They're scattered throughout the world. We still refer to them as the lost tribes of Israel. The southern tribe hangs on for another 30-some years. And during the end of that time, another world power, comes and takes Judah in a couple of different waves, takes them, the best and the finest of Judah, into captivity, leaving the poor and the destitute. This is the state that Jeremiah sees Jerusalem. He comes into Jerusalem, and the temple, which was Solomon's temple, beautiful, radiant, awe-inspiring, has been leveled. So we don't even know where it was anymore. Walls torn down. Jerusalem is shambles. And Jeremiah visits this once great nation torn to shreds. And his heart is broken. And Jeremiah laments. Hence the name Lamentations. We've seen in the news interviews with people who lived in communities, once beautiful communities, that have been destroyed by hurricanes like Katrina or Sandy, or by tornadoes. I remember seeing interviews with people from Japan who had lived in these communities that just no longer existed after the tsunami. We remember seeing interviews of people who worked in downtown New York City. But after 9/11, there was weeping, there was desperation, there was lament. This gives us a little bit of an idea of how Jeremiah felt, and maybe these feelings of disbelief that he had, or the deep sadness that he experienced. As we think of the loss that he had encountered and seen there. And so, Jeremiah, like I said, had good reason to be sad. And he goes on to talk about how Jerusalem has finally hit bottom, rock bottom. Here's the words he says. Jerusalem is deserted. This once city that had people all the time going on and doing their business, it's now deserted. It sits alone like a widow. A sadness and a loneliness of with loss. Once a queen, now a slave. Once looked at it by people as this majestic place, now enslaved, sobbing through the night. He says there's no one left to bring comfort, for even those around are staying away. Friends have betrayed, and even friends have become enemies. He says that in the city there's no place to rest. And for those who are there, there's nowhere to turn. These words form pictures that sometimes are familiar to us, aren't they? Think about it. As human beings in this world, we experience these same kind of feelings and these same kind of experiences. It's not just those who have faced great tragedy and loss who feel these things, but they're familiar to every single person, probably in every single culture, the feelings of loneliness or grief or loss, the feelings of rejection, the feelings of needing comfort or feeling betrayed, being tired, everything seeming hopeless to us. This is part of what humans experience. And so this word that is given to Jeremiah is something that speaks to every living person. So the question is, what happens when we hit rock bottom? What happens when it feels like our firm foundation has been pulled out from under us? When we feel emotionally drained or physically worn, or when we feel spiritually dried up? What do we do then? Where do we turn? When we grieve a loss or face a financial crisis that seems overwhelming to us, or when our relationships are crumbling around us, when we feel like truly there's nowhere to turn. Sometimes, folks, sometimes life truly does look hopeless. And it seems like the good news is far away. As a matter of fact, nothing seems like good news at those moments. But I want you to know that there is good news. There is good news. I read that first passage of Scripture to you from the beginning of Lamentations. Kind of depressing, I admit. But in chapter 3, this same weeping prophet in this same book of tears says this, after talking about all the destruction and all of the misery that he's experiencing, he writes this in Lamentations chapter 3, beginning with verse 21. Jeremiah says, "Yet I still dare to hope. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this." What does he remember? Verse 22. "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who depend on Him, to those who search for Him. So it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. Jeremiah says, still, in the midst of all of this destruction, in the midst of all this misery, still I will dare to hope. I find those words interesting. Still I will dare to hope. There are times when it's a little frightening to hope, isn't it? Some of you have gone through times when you did not want to hope because you didn't want your hopes dashed on the rocks once again, right? Sometimes we don't want to get our hopes up because we're afraid we'll be disappointed once again. It was just too painful the first time. We don't want to go through it again. Jeremiah says, but still, I will dare to hope. And as people who follow Jesus Christ, we of all people have reason to dare to hope, don't we? Who else can say, my Lord, who faced persecution, who faced death, who was put to death, didn't stay dead, was raised from the dead, and says that that is my promise too. You see, we of all people have a reason to be hopeful people, even in the midst of misery and destruction and sadness and loss. We have reason to hope because Jesus is raised from the dead. Jesus is alive, and so we hope. So as Christians, we can dare to hope. We dare to hope. Here's what Jeremiah says in his text. He says, still, I'm going to dare to hope. Even though Jerusalem is in shambles, even though nothing seems like it'll ever be the same, even though it's dark here and I don't see any good coming from anywhere, still, I will dare to hope. And here's what he says. Verse 22 says, because I'm going to remember that the faithful love of the Lord never ceases. So I'm going to put my hope, I'm going to have some hope here, because I know that the faithful love of the Lord never ceases. No matter what I do, no matter what the nation of Israel did, no matter what we do, the love of God never ends. It never ceases. And so there is never going to be a moment in your life or mine when God is not going to say, I love you. Now you may feel it difficult to love yourself, but God's love goes way beyond that. So, I will dare to hope because I know that God loves me. And that's never going to change. Ever. Ever. I can dare to hope because, as it says in verse 23, God's mercies are new every single day. Every single day. So I've got a bad day facing me, or I've had a really rough week. Today is the worst day I've ever had in my life. But guess what? God's mercies are new again tomorrow morning. And the next day. And the next day. And the next day. God's mercy, His care, His compassion, His love. God's mercies are new every single day. So no matter what I go through, I have that to look forward to. God's going to be merciful once again. That gives me reason to hope, right? And I'll dare to hope because it says in verse 24 that the Lord is my inheritance. The Lord is my inheritance. Think about inheritance. How does that work? What's mine will be yours, right? God never dies, and so the Lord being our inheritance means that the Lord will be ours. No matter what. This relationship that God desired to have with people from the very beginning is a guaranteed promise now for us. That even at the end of life, that I will be with the Lord. For the Lord is my inheritance. And so we have this beautiful promise of an eternity with God. Eternity in God's glory, in His presence. The Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope. I dare to hope because of that. Those are a lot of reasons already, right, to hope. And he says this. I can dare to hope in the Lord because in verse 25, God truly is good. God is good to those who seek Him. We say it every week. God is good. All the time. And all the time, God is good. Right? That is a promise. Sometimes we think of God as waiting to step on us when we do something wrong. And sometimes God does have to punish us. Sometimes God does have to move us back into the relationship where we belong. But it is all out of goodness. It's not out of vengeance. It's not out of trying to stomp us down. God is good, and His love endures forever. God is truly good. And so, no matter what I'm facing today, I know that God is good. And if God is sovereign, I know that what's to come is good. So I can dare to hope. I can dare to hope because I know these things. This is where our faith comes in and brings to us a strong sense of, no matter what, I can hope. I can have hope because I know God is there. And that God loves, and that God's mercies are new, and that one day I'll be with the Lord. As a matter of fact, He never leaves us or forsakes us now. And that God is truly good. And so Jeremiah then says this in verse 26, therefore, I can wait patiently or wait quietly for the Lord to help me or to be my salvation. As a matter of fact, it says, it is good to wait. Now that goes against most of what I feel. I hate to wait. We were talking about this in Sunday school. It's hard to wait. We don't want to wait for anything. Especially if it's years in coming. But Jeremiah says, it's good to wait. It's good to wait on the Lord. Why? Because in those times of waiting, God is growing us and shaping us and molding us and teaching us to trust God even more, making us more and more with our eyes on God. And so therefore, it's good to wait. It's good to wait. And so I will choose to be patient. Right? Because it's good to wait. Hope comes when we look to the Lord. And this is why it's good, folks, when things are going well, for us to praise God. So that when things are not going so well, we can remember that it was still good to praise God. Through the good and through the bad, we give praise to God. We keep our eyes focused on the Lord. You know, what happened sometimes and what happened in Israel's times often was when things were going well, people said, well, things are good. I don't need God now. I'm going to go on my own and I'm going to enjoy life the way I want to enjoy it. And then something terrible would come their way and they'd be going, where's God? Where's God? Will He have us back? So in the blessings that come our way, let's give praise to God. Let's keep our eyes focused on Jesus. And when the difficult times come, we know right where to look. The hymn writer said, turn your eyes upon Jesus. I played it during the offering. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And these things of earth, will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. See, these troubles will seem less than they are as we keep our eyes focused on Jesus. So when it seems that there's nowhere left to turn, dare to hope. Dare to hope in the Lord. Turn your eyes to Jesus, and you will find the hope there. Let's pray.